Good morning and welcome. We're so thankful for your presence today. If you're visiting with us, we want you to feel welcome because you are welcome. We hope that you will attend again and attend often. If you have any questions about anything that you see or anything you might have a question about, we will not be in the least offended. In fact, we welcome those questions and invite you to ask them. And we will give you a Bible answer for the things we say and do. If there's something you think that we're missing in regards to the teaching of the Scriptures, then you'd be our friend if you'd point that out to us. Well, this morning, I want to, let's just start this way. If you've been studying with us in our adult Bible study, you know that we've been looking at the letter that Jude wrote, and I thought that we would get to this verse today, but we didn't quite get there. But our text today is going to be taken from and based upon what Jude writes here in verse 11. He says, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." I want to talk about the way of Cain and discuss with you if perhaps you might be in the way of Cain and not even know it. Let's remind ourselves of what the way of Cain was as revealed to us in Genesis chapter 4 and verses 1 through 12. Jude made reference of the things that he said, I want to give you some examples of things that were written. And this is one of the example of Cain. He says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, 'I have acquired a man from the Lord.' Then she bore again, this time a brother, Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.' Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel your brother?' And he said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?' And he said, 'What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth.'" So here's the question this morning. Are you following Cain? Are you in principle making the same mistakes that Cain made? Cain was a religious man, wasn't he? One thing that we read from this passage, he was religious. He did offer a sacrifice to God. But the problem is that one's religious service may be in error. And that was the problem with Cain's religious service. In Hebrews 11 and verse 4, it says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks." Abel's sacrifice was by faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So Abel offered what God said to offer. What did Abel offer? He offered an animal sacrifice. What did Cain offer? He offered of his fruits and of his vegetables. His religion was not of faith. It was something different than what God said. Now, we might put ourselves in Cain's place and hear what God said. God says, I require of you to offer a sacrifice to me, and this sacrifice will be without blemish. It will be pure. It will be the best of what you have. It will be an animal sacrifice. It will be a lamb. But apparently Cain got to thinking about that and said, well, that's okay for my brother. He's a herdsman, and it's really a sacrifice for him to offer one of the best of his herd in sacrifice to God. But really, my fruits and my vegetables, they're more meaningful to me. And it would be more of a sacrifice for me to offer the best of my fruits and my vegetables. And so if we gave Cain the benefit of the doubt, we might say he was sincere in what he did. But he was still wrong. He was sincerely wrong. And he was rebellious. He wasn't offering what God said to offer. And so God didn't accept his sacrifice. Religion that is not produced by hearing the word of God is ignorant worship. In Acts chapter 17, in verses 22 through 23, we find Paul speaking to the Athenians, and he says, Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you." The Greeks worshipped many different gods. You've probably read about the Greeks, the gods of Greek mythology and so forth. They had various different gods, and they believed there were many, many gods. And then they, in a little bit of humility, I guess you might say, they said, maybe there's one god that we don't know. We better erect an altar to him too. So they did, to the unknown God. Paul said, that's the one God you need to know. You can't worship him unless you know him. And I'm here to tell you about him. People today make the mistake of worshiping the God they don't know. They might say, well, I believe in the God of heaven, the God who gave us the Bible, the God who sent his Son to make a sacrifice for our sin. I believe in that God, and I want to worship that God. But they never look into God's word to see how to worship him. Jesus said, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. God's word is truth, not what we think and what we feel. Just like Cain, who thought he could worship God in a way that seemed right to him, but he was wrong. We need to know God's revelation if we're going to know how to worship him. Just being religious isn't enough. Our religion must be a true religion. One's religious service may be in vain. Jesus talked about those in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. He says, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. These people in the days of Jesus were no different than Cain was. Cain was one who honored God with his mouth, with his lips, but Cain's heart was far from God, wasn't it? How do we know that? Because he practiced something different than what God had said. And today, if we're practicing something different than what God said, regardless of how sincere we might be, if we're wrong, we're wrong. and we're practicing a transgression. And our worship, our religion, is vain or empty. In spite of what they profess before God, men worship that which is a product of the commandments of men. Their worship is vain. Their worship is empty. Their worship is meaningless before God. God wants us to revere Him and love Him and demonstrate that love for Him by revering Him and keeping His commandments and worshiping Him in accord to His revelation of truth. Religion does not make one righteous. People confuse that, don't they? Well, because I'm a religious person, I'm a righteous person. No, not necessarily. We're only righteous when we practice that which God has said is right. So rather than walking in the pathway of righteousness, one may be walking in the way of Cain, a way of presumption, a pathway of presuming we're right without investigating and verifying the right way as God has revealed it. The other thing that we see here is that Cain was self-willed, wasn't he? He knew God's will, but he had his own will. Cain offered what suited him rather than what God had specified. In Nehemiah chapter 9, in verses 29 through 30, we find the same thing in principle happening here. He says, "And testified against them that you might bring them back to your law." This is the entire nation of Israel. They had departed from God's way. Nehemiah said, "You have testified to them to bring them back." Yet they acted proudly and did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he will live by them. If a man practices the judgments of God, the revelation of God, he will have life by them. They shrugged their shoulders and stiffened their necks and would not hear. So just like Cain, we're going to notice here, just like Cain, who didn't do what God told him to do, and then when God encouraged him to repent and do the right thing, he shrugged his shoulders, stiffened his neck. "I'm not going to do that. I think God's being unfair." Israel did the same thing. They would not hear. "Yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your Spirit in your prophets. Yet they would not listen. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands." They went into captivity is what he's talking about. They lost their promised land, if you will, their inheritance. So in principle, the Israelites followed the way of Cain. How did they do that? He says, they acted proudly out of pride. They were motivated by pride, and in doing so, they dismissed the will of God, and they sinned against God's judgment. And God gave them over to destruction. And we've been studying it in Jude. And the examples that Jude sets forth of false teachers and those who didn't keep their place. And he talked about the angels who sinned, who didn't keep their place. How did they do? Why did they do? Well, they were motivated by pride. They weren't satisfied with where they were. They wanted to be up here instead of where they were. Didn't keep their place. They dismissed God's order of things. They sinned against what God had revealed. And God gave them over to destruction. We can repeat that pattern over and over and over again, whether it be in the examples that Jude sets forth in his letter, or the examples that Peter sets forth in 2 Peter chapter 2, or as Nehemiah does here with Israel. Cain was self-willed. When we are self-willed and full of pride, and I'm going to do what I want to do, without regard for the will of God, we're following the way of Cain. Didn't turn out too good for Cain, did it? In Proverbs 29 and verse 1 it says, "He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed and without remedy." That's what Cain did. What do? If you sin and somebody comes to you and they say, "You know, I'm aware of the fact that you sin," and they encourage you to repent and do the right thing, do you sincerely repent? Or do you shrug your shoulders, stiffen your neck, and be resentful to God's truth and God's way? Are you walking in the way of righteousness? Are you walking in the way of Cain? We must turn from our will to practice God's will. John 6 and verse 38, Jesus says, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Left us a great example in that. If anyone could say, "I'm going to do what I want to do," certainly it could have been Jesus, the Word of God made flesh. But he says, "That's not why I'm here. I'm here to do the will of my Father." That's what he does in heaven. The Son does not try to usurp the position of the Father. He keeps his place. He knows his place and he keeps it. And he honors God by doing so. Galatians 2 and verse 20, it says, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, not my will, but Christ lives in me. I live for Christ. I follow his as he did not seek to do his own will, I seek not to do my own will. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Can you say that? Whatever the Father's will is, that's what I'm going to do. Cain couldn't say that. Cain said, "I'm going to do my will." Here's the question this morning. Are you walking in the way of Cain? Or are you walking in the way of Christ, who came to do his Father's will? Cain was envious. Envy is the resentment or ill will that comes from witnessing or hearing about the advantages of others. So what happened with Cain, right? Cain became aware of the fact that God accepted Abel's sacrifice. He was well pleased with Abel's sacrifice, but he was not pleased with Cain's sacrifice. He was angry that God hadn't received his sacrifice. He became envious of his brother and the fact that his brother's sacrifice was received. Cain's envy of his brother's acceptance by God opened the door of anger, through which murder entered. In James chapter 3 and verse 16, the principle is stated, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray that each and every one of us this morning will honestly and sincerely search our hearts. Do you have a heart of envy? Do you have a heart of self-seeking? You want people to look to you as they look maybe to other people? That was the problem the angels had. That was the problem Cain is having here. And if that's a problem that you're having, it's a problem you need to deal with. You need to let the Word of God deal with it. and humble yourself before God. Just like in heaven, in the church, there are different levels of responsibility. They are levels of responsibility. They are not levels of celebrity. And, honor, I guess you might say. There's certainly an honor to it because God places an honor to it. But we're not to be seeking honor. There's nothing wrong with seeking responsibility, but not for the sake of receiving honor among men. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery because they were envious of the fact that his father favored him. Saul tried to kill David because of envy. The people said, Saul's killed his thousands, David's killed his tens of thousands. And Saul became envious of David and tried to kill him. The elders and chief priests delivered up Jesus because of envy. The people, the multitudes were following Jesus. And they thought that that somehow threatened them. And it did, simply because they had already followed the way of Cain. They had already got into the fact of promoting their traditions that they had come up with and elevated those traditions even above the revealed law of God. They thought they were going to lose their power. Envy appears in several lists, including the list of the works of the flesh, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Are you following Cain and living in envy? Cain ignored God's warning. In Genesis 4 and verse 7, God spoke to Cain. This is just hard for me to imagine. Maybe you don't have as hard a time imagining it. But I think if God was speaking to me, it would have an effect upon me. Maybe not. I don't know. God's word speaks to me. Do I allow it to affect me? When you read God's word, is that any different than God actually speaking to you? In principle, no. In principle, no. But can you imagine the dynamics of this? God is actually speaking to Cain. If you do well, will you not be accepted? It wasn't that Cain didn't know what to do. It wasn't that Cain didn't know that he had done the wrong thing and he knew what he was supposed to do. God's past that when he's talking to him. It seems that God, it's not recorded here, but it seems that it's inferred that God had already told Cain, I don't accept your sacrifice. It's not what I asked for. Do what's right. Cain wasn't doing what's right. And so now God said to him, if you do well, will it not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. Well, he had already sinned, but he says you're going to go deeper and deeper into sin. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. King James Version, I said, sin crouches at the door. It's like sin just wants to completely devour you. But you can have power over it, God says. You see the encouragement there? You can have power over it, Cain. But Cain ignored God's warning. God took the time and the opportunity to warn Cain. And this certainly shows God's love and his patience. He knew that Cain could do better. He also knew that Cain was being tempted to sin. And although Cain was warned of his attitude and the threat of further sin, he did not do what was right. He did not repent. What about us? When we do wrong, God corrects us from his word, encourages us to repent, pleads with us, if you will, to repent. What do we do? Will we heed the warning or will we ignore the warning? Sin deceives us by trying to make us forget about its consequences. We need to be warned about the exceedingly sinfulness of sin. God's Word, Psalm 19 and verse 11, God's Word warns us about sin. And we need to heed the warning. Ignoring God's Word violates an educated conscience. It's not that we don't know better, but we do what we know we should not be doing. That violates our conscience. Once the conscience is hardened, there remains little hope for repentance. You shrug your shoulders, you stiffen your neck, you harden your heart to the loving reprimands of God to repent and do what's right. There's little hope for repentance. Titus 1 and verses 15 through 16, it says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. Being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. To the pure, all things are pure. To those who are pure in heart, whatever God says, that's what I'm going to do. If God reprimands me, I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn away from that. I'm not going to do that anymore. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled, nothing is pure. Cain was defiled. Cain rejected the commandment of God. He was unbelieving. His mind and his conscience were defiled. He rejected the way of God. The question is, what about you? Is your heart pure or is it defiled? Are you following the way of Christ or are you following the way of Cain? Are you ignoring God's warning and following Cain? Cain would not master sin. God had said, you can overcome this, Cain. You can be a master over sin. Cain had committed one sin. Now others were lying at the door. He had committed one sin, a sin of presumption. Then he had committed the sin of rebellion against God, the sin of envy. You see how just so quickly his sins started to build up upon one another. His sincerity was tested when he was confronted with the truth of God's Word. That's the way it is with everyone. One can be sincerely wrong, but when you're confronted with truth, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to stop being wrong or you're going to stop being sincere. And that's what happened with Cain. He stopped being sincere. And he went farther and farther and farther into sin. And that's what happens to us when we reject God's way. Cain would have to rule over sin, or sin was going to rule over him. It was God's will, and it is God's will, that we master the desire for sin. Not just master the evidence of sin in our life, but master our desire to sin, including pride, including envy. Not just master the evidence of the lust of the flesh, but to actually master lusting after the things of the flesh. We must defeat it and overcome it and not let it master us. The way of Cain is self-willed and sin-ridden. It ends in destruction. Will you follow should be Cain there, not Can. Will you follow Cain and let sin master your life? Or will you follow Christ in the pathway of righteousness? You know, the story of Cain is both beautiful and terrible. It's a story that in one way or another is repeated in the life of each and every one of us. It's beautiful in the fact that God said, this is what I want. And when Cain had not offered what God wanted, it's beautiful in the fact that God said, no, that's not right. Do what's right. Because if you don't, sin's going to have the master over you. It's going to defeat you and destroy you. And I want you to have an abundant life. But it's terrible in the fact that even when he hears the very voice of God, Cain rejected God's way. And people do that today. The Word of God is not so difficult that we cannot understand it. It's actually very plain. The question for you today is, are you walking in the way of Cain and saying, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm just going to do what I think's right? Are you walking in the way of Christ? Not my will, but thine be done. If you're tired of living in sin and you're ready to be a master over sin rather than sin being a master over you, you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, but you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's our way of salvation. You believe that. You're ready to confess it. You're ready to live for Him. And we'd encourage you to obey Him. Be baptized for the remission of your sins this very morning. If you're here today and you're a child of God, and you know you're not living in the favor of God, oh, on the outside, it might look to everybody else like everything's okay. But inside, you're rebelling against God. I want to do my will, not God's will. Trying to have it both ways, maybe. If you realize that's wrong and you're ready to give yourself completely, wholeheartedly to the Lord, then as James says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation this morning in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.